Blog Talk Radio.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why. This is why. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why. This is why. This is why I'm hot. I'm hot cause I'm fly. You ain't cause you not. This is why. This is why. This is why I'm hot. I'm hot cause I'm fly. You ain't cause you not. This is why. This is why. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm.
From the Blog Talk Radio studios in Union City, New Jersey, this is Dating Today with Fernando Uribe. And I want to thank you all again for joining us. This is the 25th of July, a little bit of a brief summer hiatus I was on, but we're back on here on Blog Talk Radio. So again, I want to thank you for tuning in from wherever you are here in the good old U.S. of A, listening to the best dating advice you'll hear anywhere online each and every week. Again, it's always Dating Today with yours truly, Fernando Uribe. Now, this week's edition, folks, of Dating Today is brought to you by, as always, the Mason Civic League. They're a wonderful local nonprofit that I'm proud to partner with. And you can check out more information about them by going to their website, www.masoncivic.org. Now, for those of you that are not aware, they are located at 1200 Washington Street in Hoboken, New Jersey, the birthplace of baseball and, of course, old Blue Eyes himself, the late great Frank Sinatra. You can call their main landline, which is 201-706-8088. You can speak to Ms. Tanya Garcia, the director there at the Mason Civic League. You can do so by calling again Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. Wonderful young lady, again, as a director of the Mason Civic League. You can also shoot an email over by writing to info@masoncivic.org. Now, again, the Mason Civic League was established in 2010 by former Hoboken councilwoman, the distinguished Elizabeth Mason, and her husband, Richard. And it's based really to help out everyone in need in northern New Jersey, but more specifically within Hudson County. They've done a great job in improving the quality of life for everyone in the area. Of course, they've sponsored food drives, clothing drives, lots of great activities for children of all ages in town, as well as great resources for adults in the city of Hoboken. So again, check them out online, www.masoncivic.org. Don't forget to like them on Facebook. They have a wonderful Facebook page with informative content each and every day. And don't forget to follow them also on Twitter and on Instagram. Again, wonderful and informative content each and every day there, courtesy of the Mason Civic League. Check it out. Ask your friends to do the very same. I also acknowledge on the program tonight, folks, here, Crom Cakes. Great website. Again, you can check out www.cromcakes.com. Now, again, if you're not aware, it is full of entertaining blogs, and it also connects media with humanity, of course, sprinkling some cromedy along the way. It is indeed hosted by my dear friend, Ms. Ashley Cromcakes. A wonderful website, again, www.cromcakes.com. That's K as in knife, R-O-M-C-A-K-E-S.com. Wonderful website. Again, I can't say enough about the great job that she does. And also, just to make you aware as well, I want to give a big shout-out here to Rough Rehab, a outstanding local no-kill Northern New Jersey-based animal rescue shelter out of Mountain Lakes, New Jersey. Again, they're located at 360 Route 46, again, in Mountain Lakes, New Jersey. You can call them each and every day, 862-200-1447. They're open to the public daily from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. Don't forget to like them on Facebook, of course, and follow them on Instagram and Twitter. If you're looking to adopt a new pet, whether it's a cat or a dog, folks, Rough Rehab, a wonderful shelter. They have just really adorable animals there for you to check out and hopefully adopt. And again, if you haven't thought about doing so and you have some disposable income and you do want to get a pet, trust me, Rough Rehab is the best local shelter to go to. Again, shout out to Rough Rehab, Crom Cakes, and of course, my sponsor here on Dating Today, the Mason Civic League, as they are proud supporters here on Blog Talk Radio. Folks, again, listen, it's happy July to everybody. I know it's been a couple of months here, a summer hiatus for me, so I'm glad to be back on the air again to get a little bit of a break with some new projects. I certainly want to thank everyone for being so supportive and patient with me. If you want to call in tonight and opine about anything I'm talking about concerning today's dating scene, you can do so. 646-649-1926. Again, 646-649-1926. Toll-free number tonight brought to you by the Mason Civic League. So again, folks, hope everyone is having a wonderful summer here in 2017. It is indeed flying by. It's almost August next week. And again, hopefully for everyone, they've enjoyed their summer vacations, whether you have a shore house or you've gone on summer vacations or anything with family and friends. For my students, past and present, who have been taking classes during summer session to sort of, you know, speed up their graduation and take some credits during the summer, I hope you've been doing well. Again, a shout out to all my great students with their continued love and support online, with their excellent ratings on Rate My Professor. I'm very humbled by them, and you know, it's sort of some bragging rights I get to have over some of my colleagues in the field when it comes to how good of an instructor they are. I don't know how your ratings are, but I sure know how mine are, and hopefully you can check them out online. But anyway, again, hope everyone's had a wonderful summer. Last time I was on the air here in May, obviously it's been a few weeks since then. Again, enjoying a little bit of a summer hiatus, working on some projects, folks. And listen, you'll be happy to hear that one of my big projects this summer has been really the success of my local podcast as it pertains to Hudson County politics here where I live in northern New Jersey. So if you haven't had a chance to check it out, do so, www.blogtalkradio.com/talkonthehudson. You can also check it out on the Facebook page. Just look up Talk on the Hudson. You can like it, of course, and I appreciate that. And I do post about it, obviously, on my Instagram and on my Twitter, so don't forget to follow me on Instagram at @your_favorite_Fernando. And, of course, also follow me on Twitter at @theglorious_FUJ. So it's just been a really, really great summer for me with this project taking off. And you'll be happy to know, again, last month at the William Musto Cultural Center in downtown Union City here in my town, the Union City Artist Awards took place, and it really did an outstanding job. Again, Mayor Brian Stack here in Union City, State Senator Stack, of course, here where I live, along with the Board of Commissioners, specifically Commissioner of Public Affairs Lucio Fernandez, awarding me the Excellence in Talk Radio Award at the Union City Artist Awards last month. I can't say I'm so proud. I'm so privileged. I was really flattered by that. You know, only within a few months of the show being on the air each and every Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio, to get an award like this, especially from such a reputable and prestigious award ceremony such as the Union City Artist Awards, I can't tell you enough about how great it is and really how important it's been for this show to really take off. And locally it has. I've had a lot of great guests on each and every week. If you're into politics, local politics, of course, in New Jersey, specifically in Hudson County, it's been a great show. The reviews have been wonderful. The amount of likes each and every day continue to increase on the Facebook page. And, you know, again, I owe that to you, my loyal listening audience, all you guys and girls listening each and every week. You know, you really, I mean, I hate to sound like Kevin Durant because I can't stand the guy, but, you know, you're the real MVPs, okay, as they say, because you know, you help make the show successful with how you promote it, how you share it, how you show support for me and love for me. And again, I cannot say thank you enough to each and every one of you that listen in every Wednesday and help make the show a success. And obviously now an award-winning podcast. So again, thank you to everybody. And I hope you tune in tomorrow night. Again, it's Talk on the Hudson, www.blogtalkradio.com/Talk on the Hudson. It's a great show. Hopefully you'll listen in tomorrow night and in the weeks and months ahead, of course. All right, folks, well, listen, again, getting back to dating today here. I've been off for a few weeks here, a little bit of a summer break, but we're, you know, let's get right back to it here for all my local singles that are trying to understand today's dating scene. And for some of you new couples here, sometimes it's kind of hard to start those relationships in the summer, but it'll be interesting nonetheless. So we'll you know, dissect that a little bit today. And, you know, what I wanted to cover today with you this year. Again, if you want to call in tonight and opine, folks, again, 646-649-1926. Again, 646-649-1926. My apologies there. Again, toll-free number brought to you by the Mason Civically. Again, 646-649-1926. You want to shout out tonight here and certainly give us your opinion about today's dating scene and things that bother you, please. Call me up here. I'd love to hear from you tonight. And what I wanted to really share with you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is sort of those interesting combos that take place in very new relationships. For some of my singles out there that maybe are just starting a new relationship with someone you just started seeing, I really wanted to sort of dissect some of the things that perhaps you start talking about, which ultimately give you every indication that your relationship is indeed getting serious. And listen, you know, the beginning stages of dating are pretty exciting. But there's nothing like getting to that deeper level of love and trust with someone. And let's be very fair. I mean, it's something that's gratifying and very reassuring. You know, it can be hard to tell exactly when the transition from a casual relationship to a serious one actually happens, though. But it usually takes a lot of conversations and, of course, some self-revelation to get there. Not many times, you know, when couples are starting to move past the beginning stages, these particularly intense conversations help them truly assess their fit for one another. And listen, tonight what I wanted to really share with you is sort of a list of some of the topics that couples who are getting serious are going to actually talk about, you know. And, you know, for any of you that have been in relationships recently or have, you know, just been single for a while, I'm sure you've thought about this at some point. And these things are inevitable. And one of the things I really want to sort of outline tonight is that, you know, if you and your partner start having any of the following conversations or chats, understand that, you know, the chances are that you're moving towards a serious relationship fairly soon. Now, again, I don't ever like to put a ballpark figure on, you know, a time frame as it pertains to relationships, because sometimes, you know, I know in my lifetime I've dated women for months and months and months and never really had the conversation about being serious until maybe, who knows, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 months in. And it's maybe something that I've done, that I've initiated. At times, it's been something that the woman has done, and that's okay. Again, I don't want to be here tonight and tell you that there's a specific role that everybody has to play here, or that, well, it's this person's job to bring up the conversation. It's this person's job to sort of, you know, plant the seed and sort of start having that talk. I don't like to ever put a time frame on that. I think that normally when two people are invested in each other to some extent emotionally and they're into each other and they like each other's company and they like the conversations and they like their interactions, that just sort of flows naturally. It's not something that I think I could ever put a ballpark time frame on. You know, I don't like to do that. I told friends of mine when they've asked, hey, Fernando, you know, I kind of like this girl. I don't know. It's been like a couple months. What do you think? I'm like, well, you know, and again, I'll sort of get into sort of the specifics of what those conversations could lead to. But I always tell my friends, both male and female, I say, well, okay, well, how do you feel about her? You know, what do you want to just see her? Or do you want to keep maybe dating other women? Do you want to just maybe be casual? What do you want? And I say the same thing to my female friends as well. They'll ask me, Fernando, you know, what do you think? I'll say, well, you know, do you like this guy? How much, you know, how do you feel about that? You know, and to me, you know, I'm one of those, it's one of those things for me that I don't ever like to sort of dictate a time frame for something like that. It's one of those things that I think takes a lot of planning. I think it takes a lot of sort of just careful thought and consideration. You know, dating's hard, and I've always said that in recent episodes for many, many months on here, on the show. And sometimes we make it unnecessarily difficult and unnecessarily laborious. But when you're dating someone and you like them, and you like hearing from them every day, and you like exchanging either text or phone calls, or obviously you're spending time with each other when you can and when it's possible, you know, it's one of those things that you just kind of have an idea. You know, I know that in my lifetime, when it's come to dating, there are some moments in my life where, hey, you know, I've dated some women that I've gone out with for a couple of months, maybe a few months, and it's been casual. There's never really been this sort of discussion about exclusivity. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I can't speak for every guy listening tonight, but I know for me, when I kind of get that feeling like, okay, like she's like that girl that I want to spend time with and I want to make sure she's not seeing anybody else, then I'm going to have that conversation. I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be proactive and say, hey, listen, you know, I like you. I like spending time with you. I'm going to sort of ask that awkward question like, hey, I like seeing you and you alone. Are you seeing anybody else? And I'll sort of wait for that answer. You know, then it's one of those things. And, you know, it could be interesting. So it's like, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, it's puzzling, I think, sometimes. Like, it's one of those things that, for me, it's like, it's, I don't know, it's something that as a person who's dated a lot in his life is, you know, it's one of those things that, for me, it's like, you know when it's time to sort of like talk to her and just say, listen, you know, I like you and you alone, and let's sort of move forward together exclusively. And there are moments when a woman does that too. I think there are moments when a woman's going to have a talk with a guy and say, listen, I like you. I hope you're not seeing anybody else. I want to see you, and that's it. You know? And, you know, for me, as far as I'm concerned, you know, it's one of those things that, like, you just know. You just know. And tonight what I really wanted to cover with you was the ability to, you know, have those conversations and just for you to know. And as far as I'm concerned, it's one of those things where, like, it's interesting that, you know, these convos come up at sometimes the most inopportune times, when you least expect it. Maybe you're having a coffee. Maybe you're just, you know, snuggling on the couch watching a movie, or you're out having dinner, or you're just walking through the park, or you're on the beach somewhere. And tonight, really, you know, I really want to sort of delve into some of these conversations and what they mean. Not necessarily a symbolism. And it's like, you know, it's for me, it's like these are very subtle little signs, you know, will tell you conclusively that as you're spending time with this person and more time elapses, you know you're getting serious at some point. So, you know, I want to cover that today. So again, folks, tonight I want to hear from you. You've been going through this and you're not sure where you stand. You know, again, call us tonight. Yeah, please, toll free, 646-649-1926, courtesy of the Mason Civic League. I want to hear from you tonight. So, again, call in, folks. And all right. So, again, tonight I want to sort of go into the first thing. And the first thing that I think that comes up a lot in discussions when you're talking to someone that you're really invested in is your childhood and your families. For the most part, I think as you're dating after a while, you have a lot of lengthy conversations about your childhood and a lot of, you know, the things that shape you as a person, especially with your families, the way you grew up, where you grew up, the way your family interacts with each other. Is it dysfunctional? Is it harmonious? What type of effect did it have on you? Because you know, you're getting very personal. You're getting very in-depth, and you're getting deep and sort of, you know, you're making yourself vulnerable. You're letting that other person learn more about you. And when you start getting serious with someone, you want to discuss these things. It's usually because you want to let them in emotionally. For me, it's like, that's a big thing, you know, and it's like, as far as I'm concerned, that's a really, really big plus because you feel comfortable talking to your partner. You feel comfortable talking with, you know, your significant other about some of the events that shaped your childhood. You know, whether you were a good student, maybe whether you were a bad kid, whether maybe you had a really rough upbringing, maybe your parents were hard on you and that helped shape you into being a better person now. Again, our experiences influence and shape us as people, ladies and gentlemen. They really do. They help us understand who we are and how we grow, not just, let's say, during childhood, but adolescence, but also into adulthood. And that's something that's really, really big. And when you can share that with someone and they can either understand or they can, you know, be, you know, someone who's, you know, encouraging and supportive, that's great. Because you want your partner to have your back. You want your partner to be, you know, to sort of use your pro wrestling term. You know, it's your, he or she's your tag team partner. You know, you're a team. You know, now you're moving forward together. You're going to, you're going to brave the rough waters. You're going to falls and roadblocks and pits in the road, but you got to keep moving together. You're a team. And when you can share things that are deeply personal to you, that's something that's really, really, I think, introspective. And one of the things, you know, a new show I started binge watching over the summer. I don't know if any of you have done this, but I'm off from work until September as a teacher, so I've been able to be productive and do some things. And I've also been doing a lot of binge watching on Hulu and Netflix. And a great show that I've come across is called This Is Us on NBC. I don't know if you've seen it. It returns in September, coming up now. It's a great season one. I'm almost done with it. And you know, it touches on a lot of topics about family and relationships and growth. And you know, when I watch that show, it should make you sort of think about yourself as well, about your upbringing and how you are with your parents and how your parents raised you and where you were raised and, you know, what type of childhood did you have? Were you privileged? Were you struggling financially? Did you live in poverty? Did you, you know, have a good relationship with your parents? You know, it's one of those things that, you know, and you know. And one of those things that, you know, for me, it's been, you know, something that I think really, you know, is ultimately, I think, crucial to a couple growing together, you know. And another thing I think also that's important to share as a couple, I think that helps you become closer and ultimately is going to get you more into a serious relationship, I think, is when you talk about your dreams. Now, dreams are scary things, because sharing our dreams with other people is an even scarier thing sometimes, you know. And for me, it's like, it can be challenging. And for those of you listening tonight, it's like, and I don't know, for me, it's like, it's a vulnerable stage for you as a person. You know, it's like, we always dream about accomplishing something. We're admitting to ourselves that it's something to work. You know, it's like, it makes me think about like what I want out of life. And you're asking your partner what you want out of life, you know? And for me, it's imperative that my partner, you know, it's for me, it's like, you know, it's something that I think as a couple that helps you grow together, because you know what each other's ambitions are. You want to help each other. You want to be each other's corner. And it's, for me, it's something that, you know, it's enlightening. It's scary. But I think also you want to, you know, admit to each other that sometimes you might fail at what you're trying to accomplish, but that you have each other's back. And that's encouraging. You know, I've had some girlfriends in my life that have not been encouraging at all. And it's been really frustrating. I remember some years ago just having some girlfriends that were never very comforting at all about teaching in academia, or when I was doing local media, or when I was in my philanthropy. And that's frustrating, because those are things that I'm very proud of. Those are things that I've won awards with. Those are things that I've reached a tremendous amount of success with. And when I hear significant others tell me that it's been like, you know, oh, why do you waste your time? Or I don't know. It's like, give me a break. It's like, that's not encouraging. That isn't, and that's really sour, to be honest with you. And that's really uninspiring for me. You know, it's like, you know, it's like, it's one of those things. It's like, you know, I don't know. I don't know. It's something that I think back, and then, I don't know. It's to what makes couples stronger, you know, and for me, as far as I'm concerned, and I don't know, it's scary. It's scary when you're a couple, you know, and I don't know, you know, I think back, for me, it's like, I think back to like, you know, I think back to really what my in relationships I've had in the last 5-10 years, where that's important, being able to talk about those things. And as far as I'm concerned, it's like, you know, it's really, really something that I think takes a lot of time and commitment. And, you know, when you talk about your ambitions and sometimes failing, that's what leads me to the next thing. It's like, you know, when you're going through your hardest moments in life and you're able to share them together and work through them together, that's a strong sign that relationship is getting stronger and that you're moving on into something much more serious. And for me, it's like, you know, when I've had some serious pitfalls in my life, when I've had some serious challenges in my life, I know that it's been great to have someone there in my corner. And vice versa, I know when I've dated women in previous years when they've gone through some serious things, that when I'm invested in her, that I want to be there for. And that's how we learn as a couple, I think, that whether or not we like, you know, it's something for me that is reassuring, because it tells me that my partner believes in me, wants to have my back. For anyone listening to that, obviously, you know, if he or she's willing to be that shoulder for you to cry on, I mean, that's a big thing. Sometimes, you know, many of us become very self-absorbed, and many of us don't want to deal with other people's problems and bullshit, no offense. And you know what? The fact that we do want to put ourselves out there, again, be vulnerable and let our partner, you know, in a little bit, that's a big sign about a couple growing closer together and becoming stronger. And again, that relationship strengthening itself, you know, and again, it sort of reminds me of, you know, also when you have, you know, when your partner can sort of look past some of your worst traits and you talk about your worst traits together, it's one of those things that is, you know, I think back in nostalgia about some of my relationships in previous years, and it's like, you know, it's one of those things for me that I think back and say, wow, you know, I dated some really bad women in previous years. I remember 5 years ago, I think, maybe 7 years ago, I dated someone that were very self-absorbed, and it was tough. It was tough because I knew that they weren't the best of people. They were very self-absorbed. They were very spoiled. They were very, very self-centered and weren't being as supportive as they should be, because I know I was being supportive, frustrating about it, you know, and it's one of those things that, you know, it's demoralizing. And I don't know, I look back and sometimes, you know, I don't ever like to be salty or sour about past relationships. I don't like to do that. Even as I've been writing my book and on this subject and doing some revisions, I don't ever like to come off as salty or sour. You know, I think every relationship that you go through and when it doesn't work out, I think you learn from it. I don't ever like to take it as an L, you know, as a loss. I like to take it as an L in terms of learning. You learn more about yourself. You learn more about what you want, what you don't want in a woman. And I've been very, very clear about that in my book. And, I'll certainly hopefully try to get it done by the end of the year, hopefully in terms of getting it finished and hopefully published by the new year. But those are things that, you know, I really think about. You know, certainly another element I think that's important about in terms of them getting more serious and conversations that become sort of natural or inevitable is sort of thoughts on marriage. You know, if you're dating for 6 months or a little bit longer than that and, you know, you're starting to become more of a serious couple and everything, at some point marriage comes up. It just does. You know, maybe sometimes during your dating experience, you're going to a wedding for a friend or a family member and you're sitting in a church or in a reception and you're watching a wedding. Sometimes those conversations come up. I know they have for me. I went to plenty of weddings, I'd say, in the last 10 years with many of the different women I've dated. And, you know, when you go to a wedding and if you're sitting there and you've been dating a woman for more than, say, 6 or 7 months, that's happened to me. It becomes inevitable. I think sometimes someone's just going to bring it up casually. Like, hey, so you ever thought about getting married? You know, what are your thoughts? Do you ever want to get married? Like, those conversations come up. I think it's inevitable. It was funny. I was watching another show I've been binge watching this summer, obviously, is Sex and the City, one of my favorite shows of all time. And I started going back to season one. I just finished season one this week. I'm starting season two already. And I remember there was an episode, I think, early on in season one, actually middle of season one. For those of you that are Sex and the City fans, I remember Carrie finding out for the first time that Big was married many years ago. And when Carrie sort of had a conversation with him on the phone, said, oh, do you ever think about getting married again? And Big kind of just came out openly, you know, during season one. I was like, no, I don't ever want to get married again. Now, obviously, we all know, if you're Sex and the City fans, how that turned out. So clearly the thoughts about seasons, you know, six and in the movies are very different than how the character Big felt in season one. But the thought is, you know, obviously, you know, you think about commitment, you think about that. And, you know, it's something that to me, you know, you try to not compromise on, but I think you try to, you know, listen to your partner and see what that he or she has to say, whether or not marriage is for you, whether or not it's for them. And when you start discussing that in terms of, you know, preliminary type of stages, again, thoughts and emotions can always, you know, evolve over time. But like I said, if you're starting to talk about marriage or the idea of marriage or the importance of marriage, again, I think you're getting to a point where you know that perhaps that relationship is getting a little more serious. If we're talking about marriage, sometimes the views on kids comes up as well. You know, I'm someone that very much wants children. I love my nephews. I love my godchild. I love all my friends' kids for the most part. I love interacting with them. I love being around kids. And to me, you know, aside from what my best friend tells me, who has three beautiful boys, one of them happens to be my godchild, she always reminds me all the time, listen, you're going to be a great dad when the moment comes, when the right moment comes. When God wants you to be a dad, you'll be a dad. And you'll be a great father because you have all these great qualities that, you know, exemplify what a dad should be. And when I hear that from her and my friend Tammy, who I don't ever like to blow up on the radio here, she's probably going to kill me for dropping her name here. You know, when your best friend, who is someone that I highly respect, says something like that to me, I mean, that means the world to me. And when I have other friends of mine that have kids and say to me, listen, I've seen you with kids. Like, you're great. And I know you want to have kids. And I do. And I think after a while, when you're dating someone after some amount of time, you talk about kids. You talk about the reality of children, whether or not you want children. You know, those plans for the future, you know. And it's important because it kind of gives you a perspective of where you stand with your partner, how you feel about commitment, how you feel about a future, how you feel about marriage ultimately, how you feel about children. I mean, that's something that I think comes up in conversations. The more invested you become in someone, I think the more you're going to discuss it. I mean, not right away, but I think, you know, I hate to sort of put a ballpark number on this, but I've always had this idea that at the 6 month mark, if you've been seeing each other and you've been kind of moving from casual to maybe to a little bit serious, like you kind of know at 6 months whether or not you want to keep seeing this person. And at that point, once you decide you want to be serious and you want to be exclusive and you start having more conversations, listen, this is inevitable. If you don't want to have these conversations, what I advise my male and female listeners tonight to do is just date casually. Don't try to get too invested in someone and don't allow them to get too invested in you because those conversations are inevitable. They're going to happen. You know, another important conversation I think that couples have and I think that they tend to have early on, well, not early on, but I think eventually as the relationship starts to get a little more serious, is the reality of finances. Now, listen, finances are not a fun topic to chat about, but they're a necessary one. And early on in a relationship, you probably don't discuss all the dirty details of your finances, like how much money you owe in student loans or in credit card debt or how much money you earn or how much money you invest somewhere in properties or stocks or whatever, CDs, money markets, IRAs, whatever. But at some point, you're going to discuss finances generally, you know, whether you like to save more or spend, whether you're good at budgeting or other things like that. And it makes sense that two people that are trying to move forward in a serious relationship would start discussing these things because finances are serious. It's not, you know, the most romantic part of a relationship. It's not the most romantic part of life. And if, you know, if a future with someone is potentially in the cards, I mean, knowing how you mesh financially is crucial. You have to be able to, you know, sit down, have a conversation about your finances, about, you know, whether or not, you know, financially as a couple you can sustain yourselves. That's very important. That's very important, you know. And it's one of those things. And to me, you know, I think that having those conversations about budgeting and how you do with your money. Listen, I don't ever like to talk about money with anyone that I date early on in a relationship. And I probably don't bring that up until many, many months later. Because I think that once you start transitioning into a position of, well, all right, you know, I don't want to see anybody else but this person, and now we're sort of moving exclusively, maybe you want to go on more vacations, you're meeting family. I mean, those are things that, you know, present themselves. And when you decide to, you know, put yourself in a position to, be serious with someone, and you want to, again, find yourself having a future possibly with this person, these are all things you have to talk about. And I think that, you know, again, and hopefully tonight, folks, you know, that some of these conversations that perhaps are inevitable for you in relationships are ones that you're going to look forward to having because you genuinely care for this person, that you genuinely are invested in this person. And if you are, that's great. And, you know, if you're moving in that direction, that's awesome. There's nothing more reassuring than knowing that someone feels the same way about you that you do about them. But if you feel you're not moving in that direction, maybe you either want to slow it down or just take it back to being casual. But at some point in time, if you feel this person is not going to be a good fit for you, then, of course, you also have to make a decision as well. Just like you have to make a decision about furthering this relationship and moving to the next level, you also have to sort of think back about this relationship and think about, you know, what needs to happen, you know? And for me, that's something that only you know as an individual. Only you know whether or not this person's a good fit for you and whether or not you should move forward again if you want to become more of a serious relationship or if you want to just, you know, not necessarily take a break, but don't feel like you have to rush into things. Just be casual about it, you know. And it's one of those things. I don't know. It's one of those things. It's like, I don't know. For me, again, as a couple, you're trying to move forward. You're trying to, you know, it's one of those things that for me, you know, we have to like take it in everything into account. And I hope that tonight, folks, whatever advice I've given you, that you want to, you know, be this person, you know, it's one of those things for me that, you know, I don't want to ever mislead my audience. I want to give you the best advice possible. And I hope that tonight that worked out for you. So I hope that, you know, you can certainly let me know whether the advice has worked out. And for me, it's one of those things that I hope that you will, again, take into consideration. And I hope that if you're ever interested in giving me your feedback, you will do so. Again, write to the show, professorfuj@gmail.com. Again, as I mentioned before, hit me up on Twitter. Let me know your thoughts about the show as well. I always love to hear from my fans, and I love to listen to feedback, both good and bad, because I want to keep making the show better. So, again, I hope that, you know, as I mentioned to you, that you will be able to, you know, take everything I took into consideration tonight, and I hope that it'll be helpful for all my local singles, especially those that are just jumping into relationships here in July. So, folks, again, if you missed any part of tonight's broadcast, please do me a favor. Check out www.blogtalkradio.com/datingtoday. It's a great podcast. Again, after a summer hiatus, we do return next week, so I hope that you want to listen in. Folks, again, I want to thank the Mason Civic League for being a dedicated sponsor. Again, check them out online, www.masoncivic.org. Make sure you like them on Facebook. Of course, also follow them on Instagram and Twitter. Don't forget to write to their inbox, info@masoncivic.org. You can visit their office Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. at 1200 Washington Street in Hoboken, New Jersey. You can also call them Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. until 5 p.m. by calling 201-706-8088. Again, a great local nonprofit. They do so much for our local men, women, and children, all our families locally. Check them out, the Mason Civic League, again, www.masoncivic.org. I also want to give a shout-out, folks, here to CromCakes.com, a great local media site. Again, www.CromCakes.com, K as in knife, R-O-M-C-A-K-E-S.com. It's full of entertaining blogs and, of course, some great media and, of course, humanity along the way. So, again, hosted by my dear friend, Miss Ashley Cromcakes. You can check it out. Make sure you like it on Facebook and, of course, follow her also on Instagram and Twitter. Also want to send a shout-out to Rough Rehab, folks, one of the best local shelters you'll find anywhere in the New Jersey, New York City tri-state area. Again, located at 360 Route 46 in Mount Lakes, New Jersey. Again, it's a great no-kill northern New Jersey-based animal rescue shelter. They're open to the public daily from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m. Call them up, 862-200-1447. If you're looking to adopt a beautiful new dog or adorable cat, do so by going to Rough Rehab in Mount Lakes, New Jersey. Again, www.roughrehab.org. That's R-E-H-A-B.org. And folks, I can't say enough, each and every week here on Blog Talk Radio, for the best dating advice you'll hear anywhere online. Again, yours truly, your favorite podcast host, Fernando Uribe, each and every week with Dating Today. Good night, Dallas, Texas, one of my favorite cities in all the good old U.S. of A. Have a good one, folks. As always, stay classy, everyone.
This is why I'm hot. 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 I'm hot. I'm hot cause I'm fly. You ain't cause you not. This is why, this is why, this is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. I don't gotta rap. I could sell a mill, saying nothing on the track. I represent New York, I got it on my back. You can say that we lost it, so I'ma bring it back. I love the dirty, dirty, cause you can show me love. The ladies start to bounce soon as I hit the club. But in the Midwest, they love to take it slow. So when I hit the, I watch them get it on the floor. And if you need it hypey, I take it to the Bay. Frisco to Sac Town, they do it a day. Compton to Hollywood, soon as I hit LA. I'm in that low, low, I do it the Cali way. And when I hit the shot, people say that I'm fly. They love the way I dress, they like my attire. They love how I move crowds from side to side. They ask me how I do it, and simply I reply.
This is why I'm hot, this is why I'm hot. This is why, this is why, this is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot, this is why I'm hot. This is why, I'm hot. This is why, this is why, this is why I'm hot. I'm hot cause I'm fly, you ain't.